A 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station special presentation. It's Sun Season. The Phoenix Suns Time to Rise Roundtable Special.
We've been doing this throughout the course of the day here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station to celebrate opening day for the Phoenix Suns, but this is the first one of these roundtables to originate here from the home of the Phoenix Suns. As we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo Show, as we are live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. We're not in the Auction Community Studios today, and Gambo and I are proud to be joined by two members of our radio station, both of whom have great long-standing ties to the Phoenix Suns, and we're just going to talk Suns basketball for the next hour. Of course, I have my co-host, John Gambadoro, who's standing by there at the end of the table. I've got Vince Marotta, co-host of the Bickley and Marotta Show and the PA announcer for the Phoenix Suns, and I've got John Bloom, host of the post-game show for the Phoenix Suns and the Northern Arizona Suns play-by-play guy as well. How are we all doing, guys?
Doing good.
We excited? We ready?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's officially basketball season. Because I got here early to go through some rehearsals, and I'm already messing with the game ops people. I said, I've had laryngitis for like 3 days.
Don't scare us like that.
I was telling Burns earlier, do you remember a year ago sitting here, the Sun's 50th anniversary, celebrating the Sun's 50th anniversary, and they had Booker, they had drafted Josh Jackson with a top five pick.
He still had Eric Bledsoe.
He still had Eric Bledsoe, and then they lost to Portland 124-76.
Yeah.
They were down by 58 points in the game, and the largest margin of victory on opening night in NBA history. Portland didn't even have CJ McCollum. I was talking about that with Burnsy earlier, like, hey, a year ago, like, we didn't know what to expect. They lost two out of their first three. Earl got fired. Bledsoe wanted out. I mean, we didn't know the train wreck that was ahead of us when we sat here a year ago at this time, did we?
No, it's funny because we were talking about it during the Bloomer was on a roundtable on our show today with Tom Chambers and Bickley, and we were talking about how last year, maybe it was off the air. I don't even know. It's all a blur at this point.
Yes.
That any amount of optimism you had last year was done after the first three games of the season.
Yes.
And I know Jay Triano took over as the interim head coach, and I know they had that little run right after he took over. I think they won 4 out of 5 games, and they looked formidable. But really, I mean, those two beatdowns and the firing of Earl Watson and the trade demand from Eric Bledsoe, it really did a number on this fan base.
We had no idea what kind of a powder keg Bloomer that we were sitting on this time a year ago. We're in the exact same spot that we were a year ago, and we had no idea what was about to hit us over the next week or so after that.
No, and how could we? I mean, I think there were maybe some signs of it for certain people. I know Gambo's got his sources, but from my standpoint, I was optimistic going in. And you look at the last three openers, okay? The last three season openers for the Suns, they've lost by an average of 27.5 points. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to just have a ball game? Wouldn't it be nice to have a win to start the season? Of course, it would. And for a team like this, I almost feel like it would be that much more meaningful than an opening
night win. After
what
happened last year?
Yeah, after what's happened, not just last year, but you know, how this team has started over and over, and then, of course, how they've finished for the last several years and even now 8 years without the playoffs.
The headline I read this morning on, I think it was on AZ Central, I think summed up perfectly exactly how I feel about this moment right here, this team right now. Expectations are low, interest is high. I think that's it. I mean, I think that's exactly it for the 2018-19 Phoenix Suns.
I had the same reaction when I read that headline today. And really, for this organization at this time, it's not a bad spot to be in, because I believe that to be true. If you have high interest, and the interest is high because of the young talent and assets that you've acquired, there's not a whole lot of pressure to win this year. There's a little bit of pressure to improve, certainly. I think that's a really good spot for this organization to be in, quite honestly.
Gambo, expectations low, interest is high.
Yeah,
do you agree that interest is high?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I mean, I think the whole offseason was somewhat fascinating and interesting with the drafting of Ayton and moving up in the draft. And, what I was able to find out is that, you know, that the Ryan McDonough did want to move up for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Not for Bridges, but was overruled and was not able to get Alexander. And then the whole point guard thing all offseason. Are they going to get a point guard? Are they going to get Rozier? Are they going to get Teague? Are they going to get Spencer Dinwiddie? Are they going to get Corey Joseph? Are they going to get Patrick Beverley? So there was a lot of interest. And then right up until, you know, a week ago when they fired the general manager, Ryan McDonough, like 9 days before the season started, they fired the general manager. So it has been a summer league was interesting because of Ayton and then the preseason. So from the time the season ended till now, the Suns have been interesting. They've been in the forefront. They've never really been, you know, a lot of times the season ends and the team goes away and we don't think about them until the season starts. That hasn't been that way with the Suns.
No, but wouldn't we all agree, and Bloomer, I'll start with you on this one, that now that all that's over and now that James Jones is in place and all the drama of the offseason and the decisions and everything, the reason why this team is interesting is up there on that banner right there here at the Casino Arizona Pavilion. I mean, it's number 22, it's DeAndre Ayton. The curiosity factor on him and what he can bring in year one is through the roof at this point.
I think it is. I think maybe locally it's more than just DeAndre Ayton. Maybe if you were zooming out and you said nationally what's interesting about the Suns, that would be the obvious answer. But I think locally it's more than that. It's Devin Booker. I mean, to me, I think you can't look past what Devin Booker has accomplished in the first 3 years of his career, and you can't not expect him to take another step in year number four based on what we've seen so far in the way he's come across. And now to have another weapon, to have a weapon like he has not had anything close to yet to play alongside, can maybe even make him take another step. But my thing with Devin Booker, with the Suns, with DeAndre Ayton, with all this group is, as excited as we are right now, and let's hope they don't go through the hiccups, which is saying it lightly, that they went through in the first three games last year. And then, of course, the head coach needed to be changed. But I think that we know is not going to happen. Igor's going to get some time to bring this together. I just think fans need to give it some time to come together. Does that make any sense? Devin Booker hasn't even played a game with DeAndre Ayton. He hasn't played a game with Trevor Ariza or Ryan Anderson.
None of the guys.
Any of these guys. So, you know, to have the expectation they're going to come out like gangbusters, I say tap the brakes a little bit and just be realistic.
Is that fair, Gambo?
Yeah, I think it's very fair. But I think the Booker thing was also into, you know, I forgot, I didn't even mention that, how interesting the Suns were this offseason. Devin Booker, 6 weeks ago, had to have surgery, and you know, when we reported it and broke that story, nobody knew that he would be able to play tonight, but that was another fascinating angle of how just interesting the Suns were all offseason long going up till today.
Vinny, what is the most interesting thing about this basketball team for you right now? Why is interest high for you?
I'm PA announcer.
Yeah, I got a great seat.
That now, makes one of us. I got booted up there, upstairs.
Did you really?
Yeah, we got new bloggers, which means they get downstairs, apparently.
Oh, what?
Man. How about that?
Outrageous.
Add that to
radio
the rundown.
Gets booted up for blogs. That's the new age media, people.
It's a Travesham mockery.
I echo a lot of what Bloomer said about Devin Booker. I love this kid. I love what he's done in his 3 years in the league. Just put it this way, and I know he doesn't get the national respect, and NBA Twitter, a good faction of it, is down on Devin Booker when compared to other young superstars because the winning hasn't been there. But Gambo brought it up 6 weeks ago. He had hand surgery. He used that hand to sign a $158 million extension. He's set for life. He's just about to turn 22 years old. How many other players in that same group, you know, young up-and-coming players who are set for life financially, would fight this hard to get back for an opening night? I love that about Devin Booker. To answer your question, though, also piggybacking on Bloomer's point, how can you not be excited about DeAndre Ayton? An ingredient that the Suns have never had in their 50 years of existence.
Well, Jake Voskuil was a... Oh, I'm sorry.
We can go... me and Gambo can go through the whole list of centers.
You could do it if you wanted to.
James Edwards.
Alaides.
Rich Kelly.
Paul Shirley. Horacio Yames.
Oliver Miller.
Yorgi Glushkov.
Luke Longley.
Luke Longley, that's a good one.
Chris Dudley.
We can all do it if you want.
Yeah, the potential.
Carl Thomas.
And I just looked it up because I heard you guys when I was driving down to the arena talking about what his potential is statistically. We had that same discussion on the roundtable earlier today.
What, Devin's or Ayton's?
Ayton's. Yeah. He's going to roll out of bed, I think, at 15 and 10.
I think he could get close to what Shaq did. Yeah. I really do. I think he can get close.
I'm looking at the guys that have done 20 and 10 as rookies, and it's a short list. There's only 20 guys that have ever done it. I mean, and it's big-time names, but I don't consider DeAndre Ayton not able to reach this group.
And we will talk about that in a little bit. I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to swing back around to that in a moment. First, I do want to remind everybody that you can text the word podcast to 62620 so you can get shows like this downloaded to your device. The Burns and Gambo podcast available on Google Play or iTunes, and all you have to do is text the word podcast to 62620, and we would proudly deliver the show to you every single day on your device. You subscribe to it, we'll give it to you. The 4 o'clock reset, the interviews, the insider information Gambo gets. Once again, text the word podcast to 62620 and let us deliver the Burns and Gambo show to you and your device every single day. It is one of the biggest questions facing the Suns. The point guard position. How are they going to handle it? We'll talk about that next with Bloomer, Vinny, and Gambo here on the Burns and Gambo show.
It's the Suns' Time to Rise Roundtable. The home of Phoenix Suns basketball, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Got John Gambadoro, Vince Marotta from the Bickley Marotta Show, John Bloom, Suns post-game show host, and of course, voice of the Northern Arizona Suns of the G League. I'm Dave Burns. This is our Suns Roundtable. We're here from inside the arena where they're already lining up to get in for tonight's nationally televised opener for the Suns, the Phoenix Suns versus the Dallas Mavericks. And we'll talk about that.
Doncic, the battle.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit.
This time it's personal.
But the Suns point guard situation, and I know, Gambo, you mentioned earlier on our show that the rumblings are going to be that it's Isaiah Kanan tonight.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing it's going to be Kanan and Jamal Crawford is not they want him to get him a couple practices before they play him. They want to get him at least two practices before they're able to get him out there and play.
And I think, looking at their situation, Bloomer and Vinny, that is probably the best way to play it, at least at first. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I don't think Jamal Crawford's an experienced guy. He's up there in years, 38 years old, but I don't think he's got a long ramp up. I mean, he's a gym rat, so I'm sure he's been playing some capacity of basketball or some level of basketball summer long. But yeah, why rush him? He just signed the contract today. I did see him when I was down on the court. Earlier, I did see him out there warming up, but yeah.
He told me he wishes he was playing tonight. I mean, he did. He told me, he goes, I wish I was playing tonight. So he believes he could play, but they do. They want to get him a couple practices in. They don't want to rush him into it. They want to get him used to some of his teammates. But he did tell me that he wishes he was playing tonight.
This is probably a real simplistic question that demands a more complex answer, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. You got five guys who could get point guard minutes for the Phoenix Suns this year. Ideally, Bloomer, I'll start with you. Ideally, who's got the biggest slice of that pie? Who's got the smallest slice of that pie? What is that? Gambo knows I like to pie chart things. Pie chart that one for me. What is it? What does that look like with Melton, Okobo, Kanan, Booker, and Crawford? How does that pie look like, ideally?
I think for me, and again, I have no clue how it's going to play out, and it's part of what's very exciting about this basketball team is just to see it unfold and what Igor does with these guys. But for me, I think I would have Isaiah Kanan, because he has the most experience right now, being the guy and probably getting the majority of that pie. I would put Jamal Crawford in a good chunk of that as well. And then I think it's going to be one of the two rookies that's going to get a slice. I can't see Okobo and De'Anthony Melton getting a bunch of minutes. Can you guys? No. I mean, how does he possibly fit everybody in?
He didn't get any minutes. He barely got any minutes in the preseason. Melton. What, he got about 8 minutes a game in the preseason?
But he looked okay. I mean, he had some moments.
He's got upside.
I think if you want to talk about just the pieces for the two rookies, I think Okobo gets a small slice, and I think Melton might get crumbs.
Crumbs?
Yeah. Is that part of the pie chart?
He's got the mop. Yeah, he's coming in with the mop at the late game.
The crumbles at the bottom of the dish. Yeah. Gambo, for you, what's the perfect scenario, ideal?
I don't think the point guard that takes them to the next levels on this roster, okay? It's not there. They would have loved to have gotten Rozier. It didn't happen. Or a Teague. It didn't happen. They're going to have a high lottery pick again next year. Maybe that's going to be it. Again, I will tell you that Ryan McDonough wanted Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to move up for him. I believe he was overruled, and they went with Bridges. But if Ryan had the ability to draft, to control the the draft, Alexander would be the starting point guard right now because he was very high on their list, very high on their list. But I think in the meantime, it's just a mosh pit. You're trying to win some games, so you go with Crawford and Cannon, but you also have two guys who both have potential to develop into decent players in Melton and Okobo. We don't know what we have in those guys. I mean, I've talked to many different teams, and they're guys that you work with. They're projects. They're guys that you can try to see if you can get something out of them. Now, I'm not saying either one of those guys could be a starting point guard in the league, but I think both guys have the potential to be a rotational player, which is not a bad thing, guys. It's not a bad thing if you could be a top nine player on a team.
Guys, we had James Jones on the show earlier. This is what he said about Devin Booker and how much point guard he could play.
If you just talk purely from the guy that initiates and brings the ball up to court, I can't say he'd do that consistently. But as far as the primary playmaker, initiator, the trigger man, as we call it,
right,
I think you'll see that a lot. If it's not off the dribble, it'll be off of movement. But there's no mistaking that Devin is our centerpiece and that the offense will revolve around him.
How does Devin Booker factor into this conversation, Vinny?
I think that's pretty interesting what James Jones just said, because I would agree. If we're considering five guys with Kanan, Crawford, Okobo, Melton, and Booker, Booker's the best playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And people will often equate the point guard position as a guy who's got to bring it up and got to make the first pass. That's not necessarily the case, as James Jones said. Still, ideally, I don't think you want a big piece of that pie going to Devin Booker to be that guy. I mean, he just signed a $158 million deal, and that's because he's also a tremendous scorer. So I think he's a factor. I'm hoping he's not that big a factor. I'm hoping somebody steps up, and unlike last year, where how many different starting point guards do they have, Bloom? Nine?
We counted nine.
Yeah. Wow. Somebody.
Can you name them all?
Would you want to?
Mike James. Isaiah Kanan. Wow. Devin Booker.
Eric Bledsoe.
Yep. Alfred Payton. Wow. Remember Alfred Payton was here?
Yeah. How can we forget?
Yeah.
Bloomer, Jack Harrison.
You were shaking your head on this one about Devin Booker. Shaking your head no, I should say.
Yeah, I don't think that you need to put the point guard duties on his plate right now. I just think he is a phenomenal off guard. He's a phenomenal two guard, whatever you want to call it, shooting guard. That's where he belongs. And, it would be nice to have another guy bringing the ball up the floor. As little as that task might sound, you need a good ball handler who can not only do that, but get the ball to the next guy. So there's that first pass that initiates the offense, and I don't think that needs to be Booker. I think if he receives that first pass in the when the offense is initiated, that's great. I love that, because now he's drawing all of the defense to him, and you're going to open things up for DeAndre Ayton. Obviously, the pick and roll. He can run the pick and roll. That's great. A point guard doesn't need to be the guy running the pick and roll. He just needs to be the guy with the bass in his voice, who yells out what the play is, gets everybody in the right spots, and then off you go.
Look, let's be honest. If they would, of which they never were going to, but if they had drafted Luka Doncic, a lot of that offense, and I am so looking forward to watching the game tonight for that reason. Now, they've got a decent point guard on the Dallas Mavericks roster that they just drafted a couple of years ago, but I think a lot of the offense will be facilitated through Luka Doncic. He's a very good passer and playmaker and things like that, so you don't have to have the point guard. I mean, you have guys. Trevor Ariza can create. He can create for guys. He's got the ability.
Josh can
create a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are other guys that can create, but this isn't the situation where when they had Bledsoe and Knight, it'd be like, okay, if the ball's on this side, you take it up the court. And if it's on this side, then you take it up the court, and then we'll just switch. And that was a mess. I prefer for Booker not to play a lot of the point. But if this doesn't work, like if Kanan's not working and Crawford's not working and Okobo's not ready, you have no choice, guys.
Well,
you have to get your five best players on the court.
But here's another possibility too, because there's teams around the league that have kind of a surplus of point guards. The Clippers are one of those teams. There's been rumors in the last few days about the T.J. McConnell thing with the Sixers. I mean, Simmons and Fultz is playing a role now. How much time is there? There's a possibility in the first few weeks of the season, one of these teams says, this guy doesn't fit into our rotation. Maybe that creates an opportunity for the Suns a little bit down the road to get one of those guys.
I mean, I know Gambo and I have talked a lot about this, about, playing game of chicken and who's going to blink first. You know, the Suns are, according to the report, they try to give up a second rounder for T.J. McConnell, uh-huh. and the 76ers said, no, we don't want to do that. Maybe if the Suns show these teams that they're willing to at least start the season with what they have at point guard, those teams that have that logjam might be more willing to blink first and go, well, okay, this guy's not playing. If you want to give give us a second rounder for him, we'll take him. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work that way, but for now, the Suns have not caved to anybody's demands over what they're asking for a point guard.
Here's
right
another
now.
Thing to consider on the point guards from last year, too, that whole group. It seems like most of those guys, James, Kanan, Payton, when they got an opportunity, Tyler Ulis, when he got an opportunity, they played well initially, and then they tapered off.
Yes.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Especially Elfrid Payton.
Yeah.
That's the day they got him. This guy's terrible. There's a reason Orlando's getting rid of him.
He had like two triple-doubles, didn't he?
He's terrible. He was terrible.
Bledsoe, Booker, Kanan, Josh Gray.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I forgot about Josh.
Shaq Harrison, Mike James, Elfrid Payton, Tyler Ulis.
And Devin Booker.
And Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was
a season in the early 80s where the Suns used 11 players the whole year. Consider that for a second.
I don't want to. It just depresses me. It was a debate that lasted for, about 60 seconds or so. Tonight, we're going to see the duel on display. We'll talk about that coming up on our Suns Roundtable with Gambo, Vinny, and Bloomer, and me, Dave Burns, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station special presentation. Suns Time to Rise Roundtable Special. Listen to Suns play-by-play and get inside access to the Suns on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We're live from Talkie Stick Resort Arena, where tonight, 2 hours from right now, as a matter of fact, the Suns will open up the season against the Dallas Mavericks. We're previewing the 2018-19 Phoenix Suns with our special roundtable. We've been doing a lot of these roundtables today. There was one this morning with Duggan Wolf, one with Bickley Murata, now here on the Burns and Gambo Show. I got John Gambadoro, my co-host every day, Vince Murata, co-host of the Bickley Murata Show, NPA announcer for the Phoenix Suns, and John Bloom, host of the post-game show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The numbers for, I guess, to aim for DeAndre Ayton, if he can be compared to Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq's rookie season, 23.4 points, 13.9 rebounds, 3.5 blocks, 68 double doubles in being the rookie of the year his first year in the NBA. How close to that can DeAndre Ayton come in year one? Gambo, I'll start with you.
Close. The way the game, he's going to get a double-double. Double-double's 10 points and 10 rebounds. Will he get that 60 times? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll get it 60 times.
How close
times.
Will he get to 23.4 and 13.9 and
probably,
3.5?
Probably closer to 13.9 than 23, because there's other guys on his team that are going to want to score and shoot the ball, and Ryan Anderson and Trevor Reeser, and then you got Devin Booker, and then Crawford's a scorer, and then when guys come off the bench, you can have Jackson and TJ could score. I think he'll be closer to the 13.9 than the 23. So I think he could come close to the double-doubles. I think he can come close to the rebound numbers, where I think he falls shy. If you go back to that Orlando team with Penny and Scott and those guys, I mean, Shaq was an integral part of their offense. I don't think he has to be a gigantic part of their offense. So can he average 15 or 16? Yeah. Can he average 20 plus? Probably not.
Bloomer?
I think it's pretty ambitious to think he could go 23 and 13.5 or whatever that was. 3.5 blocks is a lot, too. But I do think he's going to get more than a block a game. I think he could get close to two, and that would be really good from a defensive standpoint. Offense, I'm stuck around 15, 16, and 10, somewhere there. I'll stick with 16 and 10. How about that? And the reason I think that's the case is because, and I don't know if it was as pronounced in Shaq's day, but it's hard to get a whistle when you're a rookie, Burnsy. It is hard to get these guys on your side when it's your first year in the league. It seems like there's this like gauntlet you have to go through as a rookie, courtesy of the officials. I hate it that it's the case.
But he's a good free throw shooter.
And I know, but what I'm saying is on the other end, I don't think he's going to be on the floor as much because he's going to get called for fouls because he's the rookie. Tonight, he's going up against DeAndre Jordan. Who's going to get the benefit of the doubt in that matchup? DeAndre Jordan. Every night, it's going to be potentially a veteran. veteran he's going head-to-head with, and it stinks that that's the case in the league, but it seems to be the case, isn't it?
That is the reality, but Gambo brings up a good point. An advantage that a lot of these guys that did do 20-10 in their rookie seasons, especially the list of centers, because I'm looking at the last centers to do it. If you want to throw Tim Duncan in there, he shot 66% from the free throw line his rookie year, got 20-10. Shaquille O'Neal, 59%. Mourning was a good free throw shooter. Robinson was decent. Hakeem Olajuwon shot 61%. Ralph Sampson shot 66%. DeAndre Ayton's an 80% foul shooter. So while Bloomer's point, he might not get as many calls, he's still going to cash in at the line. That's why I think 20 points a game is actually
and you don't have to take him off the court at the end of the game.
That's, you really don't.
You don't have to take him off.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's not in foul trouble, exactly.
We all know on draft night there was no decision to be made. It was DeAndre Ayton. We know that within almost moments after the announcement, I think most of us believed that it was going to be DeAndre Ayton. But I've been thinking about this question all day, and I'm going to kind of roll this one out there right now. We're all professional talkers, and we're all kind of like professional opinion makers and things like that. Do you think at any point in time during the 18-19 season, we will have a conversation on these airwaves about whether the Suns made a mistake?
Absolutely.
And took the wrong guy?
We live in Phoenix, Arizona. This is the capital of those kind of discussions for sports fans.
No.
I don't know. I was dead set for Ayton. I think Doncic is going to be really good. I hope he sucks tonight, because if he's really good tonight and Ayton struggles against a really good defensive center in DeAndre Jordan,
here we go.
There's going to be people suggesting that tomorrow. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there.
Gambo,
on the station.
You don't think there's one day this season where that will even be a topic on the Burns and Gambo show? Not one day where we won't go, ooh, just based off of a game, a week, a month, a whatever.
No.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, if the kid's doing what we expect him to do and going getting 10, 11, 12 rebounds every game, blocking a shot or two and, you know, giving your...
But if he's not, then we are having that conversation.
But even so, even if he is, and Doncic is just awesome,
listen,
which a lot of people believe he is right from day one, that it could still pop up as a possibility.
And this is a guy... Guys, come on. This is not Alex Len. This is not Marquise Chris. This is not Dragan Bender. This kid's going to be good. And I think we all know it.
I do. Yeah, I believe that.
I'm pretty confident of it, too. I don't think you're going to question him. I think there might be some people questioning what they did to move up to get another guy at number 10 that may not have a whole lot of minutes this season. And that's this season. I'm not saying Mikal Bridges doesn't deserve some minutes out there. But so far, you know, we didn't get to see him much in the preseason. And that's going to be maybe something guys will question, right? I mean, you moved up to get him at number 10. And there's going to be other good players.
Well, I'm sure especially what you gave up to get him.
Right. Listen, yeah. I mean, I will, knowing what I know now, I'm going to take a good look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and see how he does, because they could add him instead of Bridges. But to your point, Burnsy, I think we're going to look stupid if we do that, because I think this kid's going to make us look stupid. So if we come in here in 2 weeks after he has a bad game or two bad games in a row and, oh, my God, I wonder if they should have got Doncic, I think the kid's going to make us pay a week or two later. I think he's going to make us pay.
I heard what you said.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to go out there and go get 30-15 one night against a team that doesn't have a big man, and we're going to come in here and be like,
okay, we'll see. I'm going to hold you to this. I'm going to hold you to this every day from 2 until
how
6.
How stupid will we? He's talking about whether they should have got this guy over DeAndre Ayton. I think he can make us look dumb.
Speaking of making people pay, I got a quick question for you guys.
Yeah.
Just I want to take the temperature of the round table. Eddie House and I made a bet last year during March Madness when Syracuse played ASU mm-hmm. in the tournament. You guys remember this, right?
Yes.
Remember who won, right?
Yes.
His bet was he had to wear my Syracuse hat, and it still hasn't happened. Should I make him do it tonight on opening night and
sure.
make him pay it off since it hasn't happened yet?
Did you bring it? Do you have it with you?
It's in my bag.
Yeah, make him wear it.
You better show
it for 6 months.
That's a yes. It hasn't happened.
I'd say yes.
Make him wear it. All right, so if folks, if you're coming to the game tonight, you see him wearing an orange Syracuse lid, that's the bet.
You need some muscle to hold him down and make sure he puts that hat on? You let me know. We'll make sure he wears that hat.
You got family here tonight?
No.
I thought it'd help you.
Bloomer, really, though, it's an orange hat with an S on it. I mean, it's not really.
It does sort of fit in.
It's not really that extreme.
It would make me feel good.
It does sort of fit in with what we're trying to do around here. When we come back on our roundtable show, the season is less than 2 hours away. Final thoughts on this season and something a couple things we haven't talked a whole lot about. We'll dive into next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station Special, it's Suns Roundtable. The Phoenix Suns play here. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Our Suns Roundtable live from the Casino Arizona Pavilion inside Talking Stick Resort Arena, where tonight the Suns and the Mavericks. DeAndre Ayton making his debut with the Phoenix Suns. John Bloom had to go inside to listen to the coach do his pregame talks. John Gambadoro still hanging out, of course. It's his show. I hope so. Vinny Marotta is still here, the host of the Bickley Marotta Show and the PA announcer for the Phoenix Suns. So for now, it is just the three of us. Is this going to be the year, guys? Devin Booker makes it to an All-Star game? Gets an All-Star selection? Or is the field too crowded for Book? Gambo?
I'll say not this year.
No?
Because I think what will help Book is when they're competitive and they're a playoff caliber team. And I'm not really thinking that they're that yet. So I think that he's still probably a year away. That's just my opinion because I think the wins matter. I do. I think if you're winning 50 games and you know you're having a good season on a team that's winning a lot of games, it helps.
Vinny?
I agree with Gambo. The wins do matter on that, especially when you play in a conference where, I mean, let's face it, the West is log-jammed with talent, not just at the guard, but most of the star talent in the NBA is in the Western Conference. So I don't think it's out of the question that Devin Booker averages 27 points a game this year. He'll have the numbers to be an all-star, but I don't think the rest of the resume and the team factor will be there when you're going up against guys like CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard and Chris Paul and James Harden. I mean, it's loaded with guards in the West.
All-star appearances aside, is there some sort of a breakthrough moment for Devin Booker this year? Does he need a breakthrough moment? What do you think it is?
Defense.
You think he gets better at it?
I think the only way that he becomes a top 20 player in this league is if he figures out a way to be a good defensive player, and he's not right now. He's not a good defensive player.
Although he has made strides.
He's made strides, but he's not considered a good defensive player. If he could take that next step and be a guy that could, you know, that you don't have to switch off, that he could guard his own guy, and you don't have to look for mismatches. I think that will be the thing that will really elevate his game to the next level. A lot of the great players went that way. A lot of the great players. I mean, even, like, just take Steph Curry, for instance. When he came into the league, was not a good defensive player, and look at him now. He is. He's a good defensive player. So, but if Booker gets there, sky's the limit.
I'll go different from Gambo on this one. Breakthrough moment. Have a 70-point game in a win before the All-Star break. Instead of doing it on the road where everybody picked apart that 70-point game because they lost and they were fouling and Earl Watson was creating opportunities and it happened in March. I mean, have one of those moments when you're still in contention.
He may never have another 70-point game in his entire life.
Yeah, I mean, they're rare. But have a game like that, 55-plus, something like that?
I keep looking at this team, and look, there's no doubt they're finally pointed in the right direction. There's no doubt they are slowly on the path towards where they want to go. It's going to take a while. We all know that. But with Booker and Ayton as sort of the focal points of that, I think we all believe that the pieces are starting to be in place. I wonder what Josh Jackson needs to do this year to prove that he can make that a trio and not a duo. He's got a long way to go. He showed flashes last year, no question, but don't you think he's got a long way to go to make it a trio and not a duo?
Yeah, I think the jury is still very much out on him. I think he's got the talent to do it, certainly, and the first preseason game against Sacramento, in watching him play, I thought, wow, he worked on the jumper. That little funky hitch that he had in his jumper is gone. It looks more fluid. Now it just needs to go in more. He looked way more in control with the ball in his hands. We saw him at the beginning of last year. He was completely out of control. And it went on for months at a time without really anything done to dissuade him from that. He looked more in control, but then the rest of the preseason, he kind of went back to some old ways. He shot 33%. He needs to knock down a lot more shots. And if he can, you know, consistently knock down 18-foot jumpers and then sprinkle in the three, at the end of this year, people are going to feel better about him. He's got the talent to be good defensively. Now it's just about learning the nuances of the NBA game, I think. But yeah, the jury is out on him.
I don't think he, and I said this to you earlier, I don't think that they need him to score. I think when he came in out of Kansas, we were very excited about his ability to guard 1 through 4, a point guard, a shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and they need that. Like, what this team needs is a shutdown defender. I mean, they need a guy. I'm not saying he's got to be P.J. Tucker, but he needs to – but in that role – you don't have to score. You've got 3 or 4 other guys that are going to get their points more than you. But in transition, I think he's one of the best guys they have in transition. So when they want to get out and run, he couldn't be a guy who could be, get a lot of points. But I think defensively, I want to see him be that shutdown defender, be a premier defender in this league.
But eventually, he needs to be more of an offensive threat. Would you agree?
I don't know. I don't think that they ever need him to score 20 points a game, no.
I would agree, especially this year. I think he's in a position where he can let the offense come to him, and he can get garbage buckets and around the hoop stuff and transition stuff. I don't think he needs to press it like he did at times last year, where he was taking just a ridiculous amount of shots, and a lot of them from the outside. I think he can let the game offensively come to him more.
But he needs
year.
To improve his shot.
Yes.
He needs, I mean, especially in this system, to be a 3-and-D guy. If he can get the D part down, great. Eventually, he's got to get the 3 part of the 3-and-D guy down, too. Mm-hmm. Gambo, I'll start with you. What about this upcoming season do you think will surprise us? A player, a moment, give me something unexpected that you think might happen this year.
Unexpected. If they trade for a point guard, that wouldn't be unexpected. So I wouldn't say that. Boy, you got me. I mean, what would be unexpected for this team?
I'll let you think about it. Vinny, what would be unexpected for the Phoenix Suns this year?
I mean, we kind of had the discussion, but I guess it wouldn't, since we had the discussion, it wouldn't be that unexpected. But 20-10 a night for DeAndre Ayton.
Is that unexpected? Yeah, I guess maybe
it's only
is.
Happened 20 times for rookies in the history of the league.
You got something that'd be unexpected for you?
I was thinking of a player. I was wondering about, we were talking about Mikal Bridges. Is he going to come around faster than, you know, is he going to be given the opportunity to come around faster? I mean, my goodness, they gave up a tremendous asset to be able to go get him. Can he do something this year to prove that he was worthy of that? Right? Would that be unexpected?
All right, how about this one? Dragan Bender announces himself as a real NBA player. Would that be unexpected?
That would be unexpected.
Did I just see an eye
roll?
That
would be unexpected. The look on Gambo's face is priceless.
He's the nicest kid in the world. I'm rooting for him so hard.
I would love to see it. Cut. I thought he was going to be one of the guys that got cut.
You said that, and you made me think a little bit.
All right. We are out of here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Everybody enjoy the opener. We'll be reacting to it tomorrow here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Have a good night, everyone.